Blog Talk Radio.
Glad to have you back. We are New Beginnings Ministry. And this evening, we have Bishop Larry Palmer, Sr. He is a native out of Princeton, West Virginia. Bishop Palmer has also worked as Commander-in-Chief Sergeant of the 11th Wing, Warren Air Force Base, where he oversaw the responsibility of 40,000 people. Bishop Palmer has also served as interim pastor and president of the advisory board, lay ministry, and various other positions. He's preached internationally and served as pastor. He is now the bishop over Israel Total Life Ministry. He is married to First Lady, former Brenda Hurd, and they are blessed with two sons and seven grandchildren. And we'd like to take the opportunity this evening and invite him on as our guest speaker and be blessed. We are, again, New Beginning Ministries, along with John and Dr. Suzanne Clay. And we definitely just joined the idea of just being able to share the Word of God. That's a beautiful thing. So we thank you. If anyone is calling in, you can call in at 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Or you can just tune in off of the internet, Blog Talk Radio, and you would hit begin again, and that would connect you. Keep in mind, for those that are calling, if you would like to participate with this Bible study, make sure that you hit number one, and that will connect you. Okay, so again, we do thank you. Bishop Palmer, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You sound like you are kind of far away, but I do hear you. Bless you, man of God. How are you?
And I'm doing fine. Wonderful, wonderful. How about yourself?
Absolutely blessed, absolutely blessed. It's just wonderful to be able to get together and just be able to feed on the Word of God. And we look forward to you as guest speaker. And right now we're going to just turn this over to you. And if for those that are would like to participate, you know, they have opportunity of participating in, but otherwise it's on you, and we're just going to be blessed by the Word of God.
Well, thank you again, my dear brother. I certainly appreciate this opportunity to come on the air with you. And for the listeners that are out there on this particular program tonight, we thank God for you. I am Bishop Palmer. I'm the senior pastor of Israel Total Life Ministries. We're located in Waldorf, Maryland. And I certainly want to thank my lifetime friend, Brother John Clay, and his wife, lovely wife, Dr. Suzanne Clay, for inviting me to be a host of this program. We go back quite a ways, and I thank God for our relationship lasting over perhaps somewhere in the area of 40 to 50 years. So we thank God for
absolutely
that time together. I would like for those who are listening tonight to first give a minute for the people that are still mourning their children in Newton, Connecticut. It was a tragedy, travesty to those, and it's one of my pet peeves for discipline. And tonight we'll be hearing a little bit about the dysfunctional body and what happens when a body goes dysfunctional. And this county was right in line with things that go haywire. So what I'd like to do first is just take a moment, if you would, in your own way, silently, and just give about 15 or 20 seconds in your solid prayer for those families that lost their loved ones, especially the children and the adults there in Newton, Connecticut. So if we could do that for a second, I certainly would appreciate it. And just let me lift up a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you for who you are. You're so great in everything that you do. We are mindful that you are the Christ, and you're still alive, and you're still on the throne. Regardless of what happens throughout the world, God, we know that you're still God. And Father God, you're still looking down upon us. We pray that you'll continue to overshadow us, your blessed wings, protect us with your mighty hand, be with us with your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you right now. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, it's been great. I'll share with you that one of the reasons I want to talk about the subject tonight, the perils of a dysfunctional body, is because I thought a little bit about my background as I send it forward. And some know and some may not. I was a military veteran for 30 years, and I look back at the beginning and just really saw where the Lord brought me from. But more than that, I think, I look back even through my childhood and coming up, how the Lord blessed me to enter into certain disciplines that I didn't know what he was preparing me for, and it was for this particular time and this particular season. As a military member, something about dysfunction that they find how to reach into the souls of people and kind of bring them into order in a very quick way. And when they return home to their loved ones where they left, things change, and they change quite rapidly. Matter of fact, they change within a six-week period. Let me share with you just a little bit about what happened to me some 40 years ago. I was a young man from West Virginia. I went into the military. And even when I left Princeton, West Virginia, something began to happen to change my life. It was about 40 or 50 of us going at the time, and they said, "You, come over here." And they was pointing at me, and I came over, and they gave me all the records for all the people traveling. I said, "You're the one going to be responsible for taking these records down to San Antonio, Texas, and giving them to the TI." And I didn't think too much of it. And once I got there, I gave the records over, and I found that they said, "Well, since you have the records, you're going to be the leader, and you're going to be blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Me? No way." I said, "I can't do this, and I'm not going to be part of that." So I didn't realize what the Lord was doing, and I say that for certain. I didn't realize what the Lord was doing at that time and how he was moving in my life to change my life forever, and I thank God that he did. One thing about that function, it kind of reminds me of Psalms 133, where it mentions, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And what it's like when you do, it's like a precious ointment upon the head that runs down Aaron's beard, and it went down the skirts of his garment, and the dew of Hermon that descended from the mountain of Zion. For the Lord then commanded the blessing after people were in unity, and he'll do this forevermore when we stick together as a body of Christ and not become dysfunctional. I relate that back to the military portion because we are all soldiers in the army of the Lord, and we have that kind of mindset that we have to do things together in order for the blessings of God to fall upon us. The night that I entered there, they did one thing that was kind of strange. They made everybody strip of everything they had and put it into a locker, and then the next morning they cut everybody's hair off, and they had the audacity to ask you how you want your hair. They knew they was going to cut it all off. And you take the time to tell them how you want your hair, and they cut it all off anyway. So they cut it all off, and they gave us all the same kind of underwear, the same everything, and you look just like everybody else. So they took us down and stripped us down and put us all on a level playing field, both Caucasian, African-American, and Asian, and you name it, everybody looked the same. That was a shock in and of itself because it was like they were taking away your culture, taking away your dignity, taking away everything, but at the same time, they had to strip you of all the things you thought you knew so they could put in some things that you didn't know that was going to help you become a military member. God has the same process, and I know that they take these things from the biblical portion, that they take you down to bring you up. When you come to the Lord says, "Those who come to me must come as a little child." So they must come basically, is what he's saying, that you must come to the Lord as humble as you know how, and then he can start working on you. Many of us, when we come to the Lord and come into the presence of the Lord, or when we get saved, unfortunately, we don't come as a child. We want to come knowing how to do everything already. Those type of folks, much like myself, that didn't know any better, become dysfunctional saints in the body of Christ. And I'll share with you a little bit more on that tonight before someone gets a little sour on me and hangs up. But let me just say, this study is referring to the perils of the dysfunctional body is referring to the body of Christ, of course. And we as believers have been bombarded with a series of strategic attacks by the enemy. And now, unfortunately, we're starting to accept those bombardment scenes as the new normal. I can't tell you how many programs that I see that people are calling the new normal. Men with men, they call it the new normal. Women with women, they call it the new normal. Even to the point of taking someone's life, they call it the new normal. So we have started to accept a lot of things that are not normal in the sight of God, and we're calling them the new normal. So I believe it's a strategic attack of the enemy to get us off of our guard and to let our guard down, to become dysfunctional in the body of Christ, and then we claim it to be the new normal. The biblical normal and the worldly normal has always been separated by righteousness. And now, one of the enemy's vices, I believe, is to inject a cancer into the body by attempting to merge the two. So when we see that we have dysfunctional things, especially in the body of Christ, and many people see it in the church, and then we kind of accept it because we don't want to make any kind of waves, if you will, by not saying that we accept what it is in the body of Christ that is not correct in our eyes, and we see it as not being correct, and we know it's not correct, but we don't want to interject anything because we don't want to enter into the realm of righteousness, because we are the ones now that know Christ that are starting to look abnormal to all the rest. But how many know we have always looked abnormal to the world? Because the world doesn't accept us as being normal. They know that we are the body of Christ, and they are the ones that want to emulate who we are, and not us needing to try to emulate who they are and accept what they do. This doesn't mean that we have to separate ourselves and not be a part of the world and just move, but it does mean that we can accept everything that the world sends our way. So let me move and find, what does it really mean for the body to be dysfunctional? You know, I think that's a great question. It means that we, the body of Christ, are malfunctioning. We, the body of Christ, have a behavior intact that is not in according to the word of God. And it means that we are undermining the original intent of our purpose. One of the body of Christ has to grab hold to is to know your purpose. To know your purpose. I was a semi-pro coach for a football team for many years, and one of the things we had to work with the young men there on is to make sure you understand your purpose. We had to make sure that the tackle understood that he wasn't the quarterback, and that the running back understood that he wasn't the receiver in the pattern. So if you find your assignment and you commit to your assignment and do what your assignment tells you to do, the body starts to function correctly. Once we leave our assignment and don't know what our purpose is, we create collateral damage for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it this way in the vernacular. When I was a soldier marching in unison with many others, and the drill instructor would say, prepare us for a column right turn, and he would say so, if you wasn't listening and you turned left instead of right, you messed up the whole column. It just wasn't you. You caused other people to stumble because you didn't follow what the body of Christ, and you didn't do what your purpose was to do and move the body forward. So we find ourselves thinking that when we do something outside the body of Christ, it only affects us, but that's not true. It affects other people as well, and that's called collateral damage that we do in the body of Christ when we don't follow what Christ has intended for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture clarifies for us how the body ought to function. And I want to comment on that and show you that it does not operate the way God intended it to operate when we don't follow what the scripture says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I think that's a great place to start, in the preceding chapter, however, we find that the Lord's Supper is being administered to those who are functioning as designed without division. Let me say that again. We find in the preceding chapter, in chapter 11, somewhere beginning in verse 23, the Lord starts to administer the Lord's Supper to those, and he says that a man ought to examine himself and make sure that he knows his purpose and do what he is designed to do. Now the Lord's Supper is for those who are doing what God has created and designed and called them to do. That's why the Lord says in his word, make full proof of your ministry. Know what God has called you to do. And then your gift truly starts to make room for you because the body needs you to function. Now, let me just clarify that. You can walk without both legs.
Mm-hmm.
You can get along without, you know, one arm. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when a body is intact, fully intact, it's going to be an arsenal for the adversary to deal with. So in 1 Corinthians, if we would go back, and some would have some differences of opinions, yes, but division, you got to agree, we cannot move when we are divided one with another. That's what division is. It's when we are split. And one has a vision over here and another has a vision over here. It's called division because the vision cannot come together. And even in Amos 3:3, two cannot walk together except they agree.
Agree. Amen.
So then the Lord acknowledges our gifts for the body of believers, not to be ignorant of what we are doing, but to be in full operation of what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And he's going to say that as we look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll probably get through, hope we can get through verses 1 through 11. But then he explains that we must flow together in order for our gifts to operate together. Let me say it again. We must flow together in order for our gifts to work together.
Amen.
So that's sort of the introduction of what we're going to do tonight, and we find ourselves at the heart now of today's study. Believers understand that we are one body in Christ. That's not disputable. We are one body. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one us.
Amen.
Amen. Very, very imperative for us to understand. When we operate in harmony with one another, there is no stopping what the Lord will do through us. And the devil understands that. That's why the enemy wants to keep us in a dysfunctional realm so that we won't move forward in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best times in any message that you can give a praise offering. Mm-hmm. Is to say, if we operate together, God is going to bless us together. Mm-hmm. The word is so clear. It decrees that the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. They form one body. So is it with Christ. Christ is so loving among us. He expects us to love one another in the beauty of holiness, whether we're in Cleveland, whether we're in Waldorf, whether we're in New York, Florida, California, you name it. He expects us to operate as one body.
Amen.
Verse 12 starts talking about folks having different gifts. It says, folks that have different gifts offer a diversity of things to the body. They bring a variety of things to the table, but they're all for the body to work efficiently. Let's just examine how a choir works as a unit. Normally, praise team members or choir members are assigned specific voices. I.e., you have the altos, you have the sopranos, you have the tenors, you have the bass, and on occasion, you have someone in the choir that sings falsetto. That means they sing like the old Eddie Kendricks guy, very high, a very high note that's above all the rest. But in order for that sound to be harmonious, each member has to sing the voice part in which they are assigned.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline in this area is really mandated. That's why they go over a song over and over. They stop in the middle. They go back and rehearse and make somebody sure somebody's got their part. They don't move forward until the altos really have their part. They make the tenors rest while the sopranos are singing. They make the others, kind of stand their ground until the bass gets their part. And then they try them all together in unison to get harmony if they're singing all of their separate parts. But if there's a solo part and it's not yours, don't sing. Being part of the choir doesn't mean you just sing because everybody sings. There are times that you don't sing. The same it is in the body of Christ. There are some times that you shouldn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And there's times that we should speak up, but we ought to speak up and want to speak in harmony. Mm-hmm. Even mechanical things are based on the same principle. As a matter of fact, my car broke, was breaking down today, and the engine light came on, and I thought about something is malfunctioning. In my past, I was a propulsion engineer, so I knew that something in the engine was going haywire. If it's going to send me a signal to say that the engine's going bad, either it's going to be something wrong with the oil, it's going to be something wrong with the water, whatever it is, something is malfunctioning. And when we get a sign to tell us that something is malfunctioning, it's time for us to investigate. So is it in the body of Christ. When something in a body starts to malfunction, it's not to be overlooked, but it is to be investigated so that it can be repaired, that the body would get back to normal as soon as it possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
You will not get far in the automobile holding the brakes and pressing the accelerator at the same time. That operation becomes dysfunctional because something is going to break loose. Many of us in the body of Christ, we kind of operate like that. We want to push on the gas, and we got somebody on the brakes at the same time, and we don't want to say anything, but somebody is dragging us down, and somebody is trying to go fast, and it's a dysfunctional body that the Lord knows is not going to go anywhere, and nobody's getting any glory but the adversary. Let me move forward. Verse 13 says, for we are all baptized by one Spirit. The whole body of believers operate in this wise. And this is why, you got to be mindful that we have so many schisms. At the last count that I recall doing research on, we had over 3,500 schisms in America, of different folks and different types and how they operate, and the churches were splitting because they believed in this. No, we only believe in Jesus only. We believe in the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We believe in this. We believe in that. Women can't preach. You can't do this. You can't do that. So it keeps piling up where we have so many schisms in the body of Christ that people don't even recognize us as a church anymore. Because we have so many different tentacles out there that say that they are right and righteous. But the Lord wants us to operate as one body. Whether you're Baptist, whether you're Church of God in Christ, whether you're Church of God, Assembly of God, we're all under the blood given by one Spirit that we drink.
Amen.
And this is where the schisms come in and they're birthed. But the Spirit of God is really to guide us and not to separate us with our social bias.
Mm-hmm.
His Spirit is given to all of us, all at the same pace, rate, if you will. Nobody gets more than anybody else. In other words, the Kojic Fellowship is no better than the Assembly of God. Everybody has the same portion of Christ Jesus. And when we get to the point where we think we got God in a box and nobody else is doing it right, then certainly you are doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Body of Christ, it says, even in 14, we'll go to 14. The body of Christ is made up of one part, not one part, but many. Now, I teach this often at our Bible studies and our new converts class when we have it, to let them know there are many different things that make up the body of Christ. So don't expect all things to look the same.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the case, you wouldn't have a diversity of folks in the church. You wouldn't have a diaconate. You wouldn't have deacons. You wouldn't have ushers. You wouldn't have greeters. You wouldn't have preachers, ministers, elders, bishops. You wouldn't have all of that structure, choir member, praise, teams, children's church. You wouldn't need all of it. You just have one thing operation. But the body of Christ is made up of many different things to make sure that all things come together to work right. The principle, again, remains the same. Even when you drive an automobile, your transmission does not try to be the engine. It has a specific function in and of itself to move the car forward. That the engine is designed to power the car, to get the transmission, the thrust, to move the transaxle forward. So the principle remains the same. In order for us to move, we must work in harmony. It's when people think that their gift is more important and make others feel inferior to them, it's when the body of Christ becomes dysfunctional. See, dysfunctional people in a body of Christ stop the flow of God, and the kingdom of God suffers when you become dysfunctional. I had a talk earlier in our ministry years ago with folks on the deacon board that decided that they wasn't going to do anything to help those on the dance ministry. And when they didn't do what they were supposed to do, they thought the dance ministry wasn't going to go forward. But it only became dysfunctional and disruptive for them. See, when you don't do what God has commissioned you to do and fulfill your purpose, don't believe for a minute that the work of the Lord is going to stop.
Amen.
Going to go forward, whether you're part of the body or not. We know that your part is missing, and we miss having your part in it, but the body of Christ is going to move forward.
Amen.
And it's
Bishop
not.
Bishop Palmer, this
yes.
will be a good for us to see if we have any questions. We have a few listeners on the line right now. Let's see if area code 330 or 216 would like to add anything or ask any questions.
Well, you certainly
may.
You can check it at any moment. We're glad to answer any questions that you may have as the Spirit leads.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. So don't feel that you're interrupting me at all. Just feel free to interject and interpolate anything at any time, and certainly we'll make sure that you're clear on anything that we're discussing tonight. For the Bible says, and all you get an understanding.
Okay.
Amen.
Also, to make sure those that are online to participate, make sure that you press 1, or otherwise you're just listening. You just hit all 1, and you would be able to participate and ask those questions.
Amen. But it's not just one person. When someone is out of sync, it's just not one person that is affected. I found many years ago that it's easier to really deal with dysfunctional parts than to nurse them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with let me give you another principle. As a propulsion engineer, we have things called low-pressure turbines, which push the forward engine or the high-pressure turbine to make the engine thrust go, and that's what makes the airplane fly and lift off the ground, et cetera, et cetera. When the low-pressure turbine starts to go bad or starts to become dysfunctional, there's no use in trying to nurse it along. Something has to be done if you know that the low-pressure turbine is having problems, so that those who are passengers on the plane will not be disrupted and or crash and burn. It is our responsibility in the body of Christ, when we see dysfunctional things in the body of Christ, not to ignore them, but to address them so that the kingdom of God can get well. Amen. So we have got to stop accepting the new normals, or that's just how she is, or that's just how he is. But it's just not how you are when the Holy Ghost is upon you. They only put wear and tear really on the other body parts. If you think about it, it's kind of rough when you have to carry somebody else all the time. I mean, even as a doorkeeper, you know that Sister X is always late. And you have to make up and you have to carry the part for Sister X all the time because she's always late. Well, she will continue to be late, or he will continue to be late, until it's addressed, because now late has become a normal. You have taken up the slack for the one that's becoming late, and now late is expected of them, and late becomes what is normal to them. But it is hurting the kingdom of God. So we need to address those things, not in a bad manner, because we don't want the tongue to get out of control. We know that the tongue is a deadly poison that no man can control, but we want to speak to it. And once we learn how to speak in love to one another, the body of Christ can be healed quicker and we move forward a lot quicker. Amen. So when parts start going bad, when body parts start going bad, we need to come to the aid and strengthen those. Amen. Now, let me use this caveat. I'm a racquetball player. I used to be a basketball player. But I know now that my knees don't allow me to jump like they used to allow me to jump when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
So now my sport is really not basketball anymore. I play a little racquetball, but I know that my ability is not to play basketball anymore. I might play a little racquetball, but I don't play basketball because my knees do not allow it. Let me use this as a body part notice. When you know that you're not moving the kingdom forward anymore, get out of the way. Let me say it again because we got quiet there. When you know that you cannot perform anymore like you used to perform, in pushing, there are other gifts that the Lord has given you, and you need to move out of the way. Let the youth, let those who have youth and the young do some of those things. It is not going to take you further away from Christ. Matter of fact, will probably push you closer to Christ. If you have a Joshua or somebody that comes behind you that you can teach to move forward in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And I say this openly because I have a staff of elders and ministers, and, you know, I have learned, because I grew up under this scrutiny, that you need to let them preach. You need to have them, and some of them preach better than me. Amen. They're not as seasoned as I am. Praise the Lord. But they can preach and make you shout. Amen. But you can't hold them back because you believe that the people like them better than they like you.
Mm.
Not if you're a child of God and you know that God has put you there in your purpose. When you know your purpose, you're not scared to step out on your purpose or push other people up the ladder. But if you don't know your purpose, you're going to operate in fear.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So let me just move forward about these body parts things. I believe it's just something that the body of Christ needs to know. If you just look at verses 15, I'm gonna run through 17, where it says there are many body parts having their, and sometimes our body parts have to have their day in court. Our body parts have to have day in court. One of the biggest body parts, which is one of the smaller body parts, that is an oxymoron, that has to have its day in court, is the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
The tongue seems to always want to have its day in court. Mm-hmm. But right now, let's just listen in as we read the scripture. Some people would say that it's very deep, but let's just listen in to what it says in 1 Corinthians. Let me get there with you. Chapter 12. Amen. We're going to begin reading at verse 15. It says,
because I am not the hand, do I not belong to the body? It would not be for the reason to cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for the reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Or if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?
Mm-hmm.
You see, some people would think and say that, oh, man, that is very deep. It is really not deep at all. But through the eyes of the Spirit, the Lord is saying, when I have to go over these things time and time and time and time again with you for you to understand that, it's really not a waste of the Lord's time. I won't put it in that, but it is sort of like a waste of time. If I have to tell you over and over that your eye is used for seeing, your tongue is used for talking, your ear is used for listening, it would be disjointed or dysfunctional if the ear would get confused with the leg.
Mm-hmm.
See, the closing argument has to be it. Each body part must understand its own function in life and be content with its own design. Let me say it again. Everybody that has a part in the body of Christ in what you do must understand your function in life. If you are an usher, be the best usher you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Be content with what God designed you to be. If you're a deacon, be the best deacon that you can be, or deaconess, and be content to what God designed you to be. Don't get upset with those who are in the praise team and you want to out-sing them. You're not on the praise team. Hello, somebody.
Hello.
But be what God has designed you to be and work in it the best of your ability so that the kingdom of God and the body of Christ can function without malfunctioning.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting and having a manner to do something that you are not causes dysfunction in the body. Now, this is where we have to look at staying in our own lane, if you will. I hear that so many times. I got to stay in my lane. I got to stay in my lane. I wish they would stay in their lane. But the body of Christ functions well when we do what God tells us to do. However, there are sometimes one body part has to help another body part.
Amen.
I.e., there are times when the leg, hand, and arm when the hand and the arm has to lift the leg because the leg is just a little too weak.
Mm-hmm.
And we come together to make sure that the body can function together. You know, there is no one on this line listening on this program tonight, bless God, that leaves home and forgets to bring their mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one on this. You may forget your glasses, but your eyes go with you everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the body is designed to stay together and to operate together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Lord is saying. Let's drop this same condition on a modern day church. Most churches experience a body or part of the body, let's just call them deacons, as either a functional part of the body or a dysfunctional part of the kingdom. If the deacons see themselves as a power base, they have indeed lost their way and their purpose in the body. It may be some deacons on the line. So, you know, I mean, and if they are, then simply read Acts 6. Know what it means. There is no power. Let me say, there is no power associated with the office of a deacon. Service is the power. Service is the power. Service is their function, and the one who sings in the choir, you know, singing is your function. The church struggles are signs of those who have stepped out of their assigned purpose. Church struggles are signs of those who have stepped out of their assigned purpose. Peel back the onion. Just take a look. Think about it for a minute, because all of us have church issues regardless of what church you go to.
Amen.
And when you look into it, you find out, you peel it back, what is the dysfunction and what part of the body dysfunction, and what did it do to other parts of the body that's causing them to dysfunction?
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to it, we will find that something dysfunctioned, it had collateral damage with something else, and then that something else went to something else. So we have to figure out, and that's why it's important, even when we count, to make sure we get down to the bottom of the matter and not just on the surface of the matter, so that we can find how the body will function properly. Let me put this caveat to you, that most times when we work on a dysfunctional body, we have to take a medicine that we don't like, i.e., when we need something for our stomach, I just do not like Pepto-Bismol.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like Maalox. I do not like those things that's going to make me feel better. But mm-hmm. I realize that they are medicines, and if I don't take them and get them down, I'm not going to feel better. In the body of Christ, there are sometimes you have to take some things, even though you know it's not going to make you feel better initially when you take it, but after it takes its course, you're going to get better. So we have to be mindful that we are designed and our purpose are designed to move forward in Christ and keep the kingdom going forward. Amen. Let me just Amen. Pause there and see if anyone has any questions before we move to 18, because we're doing a little transition here. So if you have any questions to that point, please address them there, and I'll be ready to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, now make sure that for those that are on 240 and 504, those numbers that are coming on, please make sure that you push 1 in order to participate. And again, we are in the beginnings. We have Bishop Larry Palmer on, and he is a guest speaker for this evening. So he's talking about the dysfunctional body. And as we go through, please make sure that if you have any questions, please make sure that you push 1 to participate.
Atlanta, do you have anything to say? Our listener from Atlanta.
No, I'm enjoying. I'm just listening. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Very good teaching.
Bless you. Let me move to verse 18, if you would. But in fact, God has arranged many body parts, every one of them, just, let me, I'm gonna make this real, just as he wanted them to be. Ooh, you know, I used to shout right there myself. He arranged every body part just as he wanted them to be. We, the body of Christ, like to move from where God has told us to be and operate somewhere else. This is what causes dysfunction in the body of Christ. The Lord is conveying to us here that I do not make a mistake in my creation.
Amen.
Because I designed everything as I wanted it to be. I designed a man to be a man. I designed a woman to be a woman. I designed a dog to be a dog. That's what they are. And that's how they're going to function. I know some may want to be something else, but if I could just refer back to, he made everybody just as he wanted them to be.
Amen.
So now,
Amen.
If you're not happy with who you are, ask God to fix it, not for the people to accept it. Most times, we do not know completely or fulfill the word of God, and we fail to understand how he has made us, and he has made us with more than enough. He has made us with more than enough. We become too busy seeking other things when our mission is not complete with the thing God has designed us to be.
Mm-hmm.
As a young minister of the Lord, I tell you my experience. I grew up in the Church of God down in Darlington, South Carolina, Sumter, South Carolina, and I had very wise teachers. I thought I should have been doing some things long before I was able to do them. I've been called to the ministry already, I thought, and I've been doing this for 3 years now, and y'all haven't let me preach yet. Matter of fact, I was getting attitudes. Y'all ain't let me preach yet. I mean, I got a word in me just like y'all got a word in you. So finally, maybe that must have spilled over to the moderator, and we was at this pastor's conference, and I was one of the young ministers there, and they said, well, we're going to have one of our ministers to preach to the pastors today. And he had told me that I was going to have to share a word or get the opportunity to share a word with the pastors. Of course, now, all that warning, I was kind of a little nervous because now preach to nobody but pastors. I mean, now you're going to throw me in with all the lions. So my time came around, and I had opportunity to share a word of God, and oh, man, I was getting so many amens. Oh, it was just something else. I just got beside myself. And soon as I thought that I was really getting it on, the pastor reached up and pulled my coattail. I said, okay, sit down now, son. Say, you preaching now, Holy Spirit finished. Man, I thought I was going to cry. Matter of fact, I think I did cry a little bit. I said, in the middle of I'm just hitting second gear. And he made me sit down. So I thought about it a second. I was hot enough to five fists grease. I'm telling you, I was really hot. So I went outside, and the pastors come outside, and they're kind of laughing and kind of chuckling. He said, man, you know what? He said, you ought to feel good. You went a long time. He let you preach a long time. And, you know, that wasn't doing me no good because I thought that, you know, it was quite embarrassing to have to sit down. So they were saying, Pastor Tom, he love you. He love you. He must really like you. You know, you preach about 7 minutes. You're
talk to brother talk.
he came out, and finally he came out. You know, I just had a little ugly attitude. I mean, it was just really set back. And he looked over and looked at me, and he waved at me and smiled and went on and got in the car. I said, oh, man, now see that? See, that ain't nothing but the devil right there. Ain't nothing but I'm thinking in my own mind. And so our pastor came out in the car, and he said, Bubba, you did good. You did real good. I said, man, I just feel terrible. He said, no, don't feel bad. He said, you know what? He said, when you start preaching, he said, it doesn't do anything for the people. He said, when the Spirit of God preaches, you know, you were in the Spirit for 6 minutes and 30 seconds, but you got beyond yourself, didn't you? That's what he said to me. And I knew that I had, because I had already said it to myself, listening to all them man. So I learned a valuable lesson from then, that if the Holy Ghost is using you, people are being blessed by you. But if you're using you, people are not being blessed by what you say. So sometimes we go beyond what our mission says, and we go outside of our purpose, and then we're going into flesh, and when flesh arises, then the people are not getting blessed anymore. Let me just move to verse 19. I want to get along because my time is going to be far spent here. The Lord says, if we were all one part, where would the body be? The answer is nowhere. You know, we would just be a lot of mouth. Or maybe we would just be a lot of listening. Or maybe a lot of thought with no action. Or a lot of sound with no applause. Or a lot of hearing and a lot of eating, but no swallowing. Because the throat does not decide to participate. You know, the stomach doesn't get all bent out of shape. We do not value what God has given us as a gift. I don't know everyone on the line, but I do know this. If we're under the same blood of Jesus, we should be able to operate together when we come together. And even if we're on one accord on these airlines, praying together for one purpose and one cause, God will move and bless it.
Amen.
So the many parts that we have together are functioning together to do God's purpose together. Verse 20, many parts but one body. We must put our minds in a place of a symphony. We must put our minds in a place of a symphony. How beautiful it is when everyone does their assigned part. Whew. I love this part. When everyone does what they're designed to do. I went and had all of my leaders to go on a mission, a team building this past weekend, and they did wonderful. I mean, it was just absolutely wonderful on this team building exercise because everyone had an appointment. No one was higher than the other. There was no rank conscious. I mean, you know, the elders wasn't sitting back watching what the hospitality was doing. Everybody was doing what they were designed to do. And in time, everything came together, and it was just like a symphony because the mission was complete and everything was beautiful because when it all came together, all pieces fit together, just like a puzzle that comes together with many parts. Everything comes together when everybody works and do what their design purpose is to do. So I take it really makes a difference when we, the body of Christ, work together and look for symphonic results on what we do. Even though we are many parts, we have to know when our part comes, we do the best that God has assigned us to do in our part. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. There are no big I's and little U's in the body of Christ, even though we seem to work that way. Let's say it again. Even though we seem to work that way. Even in the bishopric, we seem to work that way. I'm a little different, and some of my compadres, they may be on the line. But nevertheless, I'm going to say, Jesus didn't separate himself from the people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Jesus blessed them. How do you bless people? He did some things from a distance, but he had to be close.
Yes, sir.
He had to be close. I mean, people just reaching out, touching the hem of his garment because he was available. Amen. He was blessing and laying hands on blind Bartimaeus because he was available. Amen. So we have to find out the pattern of Christ and be available.
Amen.
Oh, hello, somebody. So I believe that God is saying that when you're available, to do his work, amen, then he will let the gift that is given unto you operate. And I just believe in the availability of folks. You see, Jesus didn't look like Jesus was born in the manger. I mean, come on now. He wasn't all special. He could have been. He could have made the plan to be special, more special than anybody. But he was born lowly and meek among us so people could see that I can do the things from a lowly state and become somebody. The word for this past week's word was, you want to be somebody. And was talking about James and John, both of them wanting to sit one on the left and one on the right because they want to be somebody. And when you want to be somebody in Christ Jesus said, look, I don't know if you really know what you're asking to be. Can you really be somebody like I'm somebody? Can you really take the beating that I'm going to take? Can you really take the suffering that I'm going to take? Can you really take somebody spitting on you? Can you really take the cup that I'm going to drink up? I mean, can you really do it? And the disciples thought they could. And they said, oh, yeah, we can do that because we want to be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then it causes collateral damage because when the other 10 found out that they had asked Jesus to do this, it said they got really indignant. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got really indignant with James and John. And then we have to be mindful for that little body part. This kind of carries us over to Ephesians 4, where it says, 4:29, let me just commercial break there for a second. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth.
Amen. Amen.
But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed. Let me say it again. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed. If you have the Spirit of the Lord working in you, you don't slip in. Oh, it's quiet now. I mean, if you have the Spirit of the Lord working in you real good, you just don't slip up and do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So he says, get rid of bitterness, get rid of rage, get rid of anger, get rid of brawling, get rid of slander, along with every other form of malice that may be within you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, because if not, you're going to be dysfunctional. Forgive one another. If not, the body is going to become dysfunctional. Just as God forgave you, forgive somebody else. That's a functional body. Now let me put this caveat to it. It's not easy to do.
Amen.
That's why you have to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And you have to have the power of the Lord to do these things. It's tough not to get upset with somebody when they lie on you. Amen. It's tough to come into a rage when somebody is raging at you. It's tough. It's tough not to get upset when somebody slanders and brawls and talks all this stuff about you. It's tough when somebody comes up and does something mean and ugly to you for you not to respond mean and ugly. It's a tough thing. But it takes us over to Acts 1 and 8. Ooh. It says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the only way that we can do it.
Amen.
Is to have the power to do it through the unctioning of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Not, you know, we will cuss somebody out if we don't have the power of the Holy Ghost operating in us. Oh, I know I'm talking now. Amen.
Amen.
And then many of us that presume to be teachers are not ready to be teachers yet, because our tongue is not ready to be guided by, or it is ready to be, but it's not tamed by the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. So we have to be mindful of these body parts and how they work together. Even how you look at people, and even how you sigh and how you murmur, how you turn your head, we have to be very careful of the, you know, expressions and nonverbals that we give off.
Yes,
amen. Then it says, I'm standing in verse 21 before we close out. It says, we work together interdependent and not independent of one another. In other words, we work in concert with one another. Otherwise, the body will suffer. Now, on the contrary, or just the opposite, those body parts are specific people functions that seem to be weaker or less important or indispensable if required. Look, if you think because you don't show up, the church body is going to cease, you're sadly mistaken. Ain't that going to happen until I get there? You're sadly mistaken. I'll tell you, in times past, I've had some great experiences. The Lord has showed me so many things in the ministry. I had a wonderful minister of music. He was just a great person. But there was a time after we discussed what wasn't going to be in the choir that he got beside himself. So strategically, he planned not to be there. And strategically, I planned to play a CD, because I thought he wasn't going to be there. Amen. And it turned out very, very nice, to the point where I said, you know, I don't know if we really need you to come back next Sunday. So, you know, but I'm saying some body parts that don't want to participate won't stop you from doing what the kingdom of God is telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we grasp it a little better, understanding of the word is conveying when we attend things like a live play, a theater, while all the stars of the show are taking their places and the audience is awaiting with great expectation, there's a part of the show that is seldom seen, it is seldom recognized, and yet without this particular part of the show, the play can't go on. You guessed it. It's the one who has the job of drawing the curtain between scenes. Nobody knows who it is. They're not mentioned on the credits. They're not recognized. They don't come out with everybody else and take a bow. But without that particular part of the body, the show can't go on. So I say this to say this. Every body part should be of equal concern. Our problem is we get up trying, we get caught up trying to pick the VIP of the body.
Mm-hmm.
When it takes all the moving parts to make it work harmoniously. If one body part suffers, every part suffers with it. This
mm-hmm.
is clear. It's similar to a common cold. Not only do you get a headache, a runny nose, you know, the body aches and pains, temperature rises, tiredness comes, you get weak on occasions, we don't feel like entertaining, our voices fluctuate, we need rest and TLC. When one part of the body starts functioning, dysfunctional, the whole body starts to suffer. We can get infected with a virus, just like computers get infected with viruses, that cause us to malfunction or to dysfunction and become totally dysfunction, no, in the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Mm. But it's great when we dwell together, and it's pleasant when we can dwell together in unity. That's
mm-hmm.
what the Bible says. It's like precious ointment upon the head running down the beard, because everything is working like it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like an ointment. I mean, it's something good. I mean, it's really, really, really inviting when we come together and work like the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lastly, let me just talk about the tongue just for a few minutes. And this is coming out of James 3, where it talks about how we control the tongue, and many of us that want to know the Lord better than others, probably and sometimes may know him less. It says in James 3, beginning of verse 1, not many of you should presume yourselves to be teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. In other words, if you know something, then your accountability of what you know is much higher than those who don't.
Amen.
We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. I just don't know anybody like that. I'll pause for effect. I just don't know anybody like that that's really perfect enough that his whole body is in check. I don't have any problems. I know that I have some problems.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I know that I have some idiosyncrasies that I have to work on. I really have to work on, and my helpmeet helps me a lot to work on. Amen. So I know that I have some things that are not perfected. But when we put bits into the mouths of horses, watch this. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, we make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal just by using this bit. In other words, this tongue that we use can either speak life or it really can speak death to someone. And that's a small body part. That's a very small body part. But it can control us and move us further and further and further away from the Lord. You know, and it can make great boasts you know, it can set a whole forest afire. The tongue is really a deadly poison that nobody can control. It can corrupt the whole person or set the whole course of his life on fire, and itself can be done and sent to hell just by the tongue. So we have to be mindful of things that we speak, because this body part is one of the most dangerous, and that's the tongue. It is a deadly poison. Nobody can control it. So I submit to you tonight that there are some perils of being a dysfunctional body. If we come together, think about being and having the Lord in symphony with one another. I give you this challenge. I really give you this challenge. Think of someone that you just cannot get along with in the body of Christ. That person, I just stay clear of that person, because we don't agree eye to eye or face to face. I just decided this is going to be the best way for us to operate, is to just stay clear of it. Amen. You have to ask yourself, is that a functional body part, or are you functioning as the Lord would want you to function? I would say this: you are the problem, because you know you need to function like the Lord wants you to function. And you have to move in the spirit of love against those things that are strategically holding you apart. Too many people, especially in the body of Christ, that decide they don't want to work together. Therefore, you know, since you're on the usher board, I'm not going to be on the usher board. Since you sing in the choir, I'm not going to sing in the choir. Even though you can sing, that's your gift, that's your purpose, that's what God has given you. But because somebody else is there that you can't get along with, you decide, well, the Lord has told me not to do that anymore. My season is up for the choir. You know, that's one of the biggest, ooh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. We're on the airways. But that's one of the biggest dysfunctions in the body of Christ, when someone comes and tell you that their season is up. My time is far. The Lord told me that my season is done here. Amen. So I know many of us use it. I have used it myself, but I'm telling you, you need to look in the mirror when you believe that God has told you your season is up, and make sure that your mission that God designed and assigned to you is complete and confirmed by those who have authority over you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just not your season. You're moving. When God moves you from this season to another season, it is a great and smooth transition. I'm not saying you should never move, just to stay where you are for the rest of your time, but God will move you through the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. But you can't decide, because you don't like somebody, that your season is up. Or you can't work with another body part that your season is up. But when you work through it, the blessings of the Lord come upon you, and they come upon you in a great, great, great way. Amen. So let me stop there. I want to open up and give a few minutes for questions, Brother John, if that's okay, and see if anyone on the line has any questions about the things that we have talked about this evening. I'll be glad, very glad to. I pray that I'll be able to answer them. If not, I certainly will call back in to Brother John or Dr. Clay and give them the answer to give back to you at a later time. So is there anyone that may have a question on the airway tonight that they want to interject on the subject that we discussed tonight as far as a dysfunctional body is concerned?
The fact, like, Christians that are working in the secular world, in the business world, and, like, for my husband and myself in education, we're, you know, the term for the last few years and recent times has been being politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And very often what people mean is just not Christian.
Yeah.
Let's talk about political correctness. So how do you, what do you think would be the proper response for a Christian who's working in a situation where their faith is being challenged and it's being said that they're not being politically correct, or they're not observing the rules of diversity in the workplace?
Yeah, very good question. I will address it as this. I was in that same situation where I was a chaplain, an acting chaplain of a unit, and one evening we had a lot of dignitaries that were coming to a particular function, and I was the chaplain for the evening, and person that was handling in this political environment said, "I want to see your prayer." So I said, "You want to see my prayer?" He said, "Yeah, I want to see your prayer. I want to see what you're going to say." I said, "Well, that's going to be kind of difficult because, I mean, unless you can see into my mind, you know, I don't write my prayers out." He said, "Well, here's what we need. We don't need you to mention, we don't nothing about Jesus." I paused for a second. He said, "Well, you know, it's not political correct because everybody, you know, is not a Christian and blah, 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 blah." I said, "You know, you asked me to pray."
Mm-hmm.
"Which means you told me to pray according to my beliefs, not according to everybody else's and or yours. So now,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna call on his name. You know, and I know it's late in the game, but I'm gonna call on his name. And you know, if you don't want to pray, you need to let me know now. You know, and I don't have any hard feelings. I really don't have any hard feelings about not doing it. Someone can substitute. Maybe you should pray." Oh no. You see, but when I prayed, now you know, it wasn't deviously, but when I prayed, I did call on his name a few times. Amen. Now, after that, I said, "You know, I would probably never pray again in this forum.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably never have an opportunity to pray again." Now, at the end, when the general had his comments, you know what he said?
What's that?
"As long as we have these type functions, we will always have Chaplain Palmer to pray."
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, I say this. Had I not prayed my convictions, I would have prayed his prayer and not the Lord's prayer. And the Lord would not have moved in me. Now, let me say this. Then answer to your question.
Yes.
We just have to stand. I know it's a tough thing, politically correct, but if it's for the Lord, we're going to suffer things for the Lord. The Lord says in this, we're going to suffer. You know, the kingdom suffers violence. I mean, you know, so we're going to have to stand on the conviction of the Lord and do what's not to be vindictive toward the world or anything like that. But whatever the Lord tells you to do, we're going to have to trust him enough to do what he says.
Amen.
He tells you to pray in the spirit. He says you need to take no part in this political thing, blah, blah, blah. And that's contingent upon somebody getting promoted. And the Lord says, no, don't do it. Because you're not going to be blessed anyway. And man can give you something, but the Lord ain't going to. Hey, no, I'm going to frown upon him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So it's a tough thing. And I know it's a tough thing. But, you know, we have to trust God enough to believe that he is a reward of those who really diligently seek him and seek the spirit of the Lord. The test that we have on this earth, we must pass.
Amen.
We must pass. And we must show others that God is truly the way, the truth, and the life.
I have another question for you. In your ministry, in the case of someone who the enemy will try to tell you that you really didn't hear God, or that's not really your calling, or you're too shy, or you're too tall, or too short, or too fat, or too whatever to do whatever you're supposed to be doing in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see someone, or are there occasions when you see that someone is not operating as they should be or in a position that they should be in, how do you encourage them, or how do you, you know, does the Lord speak to you about those things?
Yes, yes, it does. And, you know, in 2 Timothy, you know, 4 and 5, it says, you know, watch above all things in affliction. Do the work, you know, if you're an evangelist, do the work of an evangelist. It says, make full proof of your ministry. The Lord is telling us if God calls you for whatever he calls you to, he's going to equip you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He's going to equip you to do that work. No, don't let no devil in hell tell you that you're not called to do what God has called and assigned you to do. You
mm-hmm.
just we often take the opinions of men and not the call of God. So the opinion of men may be that, you know, women don't belong in the pulpit on certain places and certain things. But the Lord says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
all right.
So you don't have to break no glass ceiling. So we're breaking the glass ceiling because we're doing this. You know, now we're going to be able to preach here. We're going to be able to preach up here instead of standing down here on the pulpit. You ain't got to do that. God already has already done that. So we can't redefine what God has already defined. That's the same thing with the marriage amendment that's going throughout the state today. We can't redefine what marriage is. It already is.
Amen.
The Bible says it's between one man and one woman. That's nothing that we have to go to try to find out what the answer is. It says in Genesis 2:24. So that's all we got to do is live out the mandate of God. We don't have to worry about all the rest. Well, maybe they're right. Maybe they got a point. They don't have a point. The Bible mm-hmm. is for the Spirit. That's what we have to go by.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
I ain't mean to get up there and sound a little compassionate, but, you know, that's where it is.
That's what we need. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Are there any more questions out there? Dr. Suzanne is answering questions coming through the Internet. Does anyone, you know, have a question out there? If you're trying to ask a question and you're wondering why we can't hear you, it's because you have not pushed the number one. And when you push the number one, that directly connects you on air with us so you can ask questions as well as participate.
Dr. Bishop Palmer, we are one of the calls from Atlanta said, good teaching. Sorry she had to go, and she will try to listen to you again. She's going to catch it on our archive. So all our listeners, we have all of our shows are archived on blogtalkradio.com, and
mm-hmm.
just go to New Beginnings Ministry, and there's a wealth of information. But if you miss any part of tonight, you can always go back to the computer, to our site, and reconnect with us and listen to Bishop Larry Palmer.
Amen. Thank you.
It looks like we are running out of time. Bishop Palmer, I just want to say that it's just, you know, you have just exhorted a wealth of information this evening, and I know I was blessed by your words concerning the dysfunctional, you know, body and understanding that, you know, that every body part is, you know, is equally a part or a member of the body, and that has, you know, truly just blessed me. And oftentimes there are those out there that feel that they're in the body and they're not looking at themselves as equally a part of the body. So therefore, you know, they don't fully function, you know,
mm-hmm.
at the level that God wants them to function because mm-hmm. of that inferiority of feeling
right.
that they're not equal with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was just a mighty word that you've imparted on us. And again, it has truly, truly been a blessing. It's good to, you know, to hear your words of wisdom as well as just to know that you are, you know, a brother and a friend. And, you know, it's just been truly a blessing. We have been blessed in this household. Those on the airwaves, I'm sure they have been blessed as well.
Amen. God bless you. And thank you so much for having me on tonight, Dr. Clay and my brother John. It's been wonderful being here tonight. I look forward to another opportunity. I will be in Cleveland, Brother John, in March, so I hope I can come by and we'll share a little bit of the gospel every time we get together. It's at least 4 or 5 hours as we're talking about the goodness of the Lord. So
that time together again. God bless everybody on the airwaves tonight. I thank God for your attentiveness, and I thank God for your questions. I pray that the Lord's blessings will be upon you. We know that if we keep holding up the bloodstained banner, God is going to answer us in a great way, and we're going to see great things done by this body of Christ in this kingdom of God in this time that God has assigned to us right now. So I bless you. I thank you so very much for you standing up and being part of the body of Christ. Love you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Love you, too.